Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome. Welcome to Essex Church, where this community of Kensington Unitarians meets for worship each Sunday morning, as well as for assorted other activities during the week. This is a community created by all those who walk through our doors. Whoever you are, whatever you are, however you are this day, you are welcomed and accepted here. As Unitarians, we're identified not by shared beliefs, but by a shared commitment to a free and responsible search for a life of meaning and purpose. Though our lives are different and we walk different paths, yet there is a shared experience of being human, and we join together here to deepen that experience, to go beyond a simple material approach to life, important though that is. Yet we know the value too of exploring matters of the spirit here in community with one another. So welcome one and all. And the theme for today is the bread of life. And we're going to be exploring the many ways in which bread, that most basic of foodstuffs, has been used as a metaphor for a deeper nourishment, a feeding of our spirits. And that's my hope for all of us here today, that through our time spent together, we'll feel nourished, inspired, uplifted by the spirit of life and love. On our table, as you'll see, there's some ears of corn, there's a loaf of bread, and we also have some dough, courtesy of Jane and her superb baking skills. We have some dough that's going to be rising as this service happens, as the yeast does its work. So feel free to come out during the hymns. I was saying to Jane, can't we prod it? And she said, no, sir, you can't prod it. So we can't prod it, but we can look at it and marvel at the work of the spirit and of the yeast there. And some words of blessing. A Celtic blessing for bread. Be gentle when you touch bread. Let it not lie uncared for, unwanted. So often bread is taken for granted, and yet there is such beauty in bread. Beauty of surf and soil, beauty of patient toil. Wind and rain have caressed it. Let us often bless it. Be gentle when you touch bread. And I invite you now to join me in a time of prayer and reflection, in which I call on the divine spirit of life and love to be with us now and to bless our time together here today. Let's give thanks for this community, for our church, and for our freedom to worship as we wish. We can think with gratitude of brave souls who fought for the freedoms we enjoy today. And then surely we must bear witness to those who struggle for freedom all around the world. We might think of those who face persecution for their faith, those who are prepared to face imprisonment and even death rather than hide their truth from those in power. Their courage is an example to us all and may leave us painfully aware of the ways in which we all hide our truths, aware of the fears that have us hide or keep us silent when we could speak up for causes we know to be just. So in a moment of shared stillness, let's think of people and places for whom we pray in love and concern. May God empower all people to seek a path of peace where at present there is turmoil and discord. There are so many places we might think of. The sectarian bombings in Iraq, in Syria, where violence seems at present never ending. In Zimbabwe, where people despair of the basic right to vote freely and without fear. And we witness such events through our televisions and news reports. But many of us will also know discord and turmoil in our own lives. Let us pray then for greater peace for all beings, including ourselves and those close to us. And may we also appreciate the delights of being alive, those simple gifts of sunshine, laughter, kindness, cups of tea, new ideas, that renewed by them we can rededicate ourselves once more to creating this world as a better place for all its inhabitants. And may this be so for the greater good of all, now and always. Amen. This story comes from Margaret Silf. She's a fine collector of stories, wisdom stories from around the world. This is a true story based on an incident reported back in the 30s. This happened in New York on one of the coldest days of the year, when the world was in the grip of the Great Depression, and all over the city the poor people were close to starvation. And it happened that a judge was sitting on the bench that day hearing a complaint against a woman who was charged with stealing a loaf of bread. And she pleaded that her daughter was sick and her grandchildren were starving. Their father had abandoned the family. But the shopkeeper, whose loaf had been stolen, refused to drop the charge. He insisted that an example had to be made as a deterrent to others. You can imagine the scene. The judge sighed. He was most reluctant to pass judgment on that woman, and yet he had no alternative. The law is the law. "I'm sorry," he turned to her. "I can't make any exceptions. The law is the law. I sentence you to a fine of $10, and if you can't pay, I must send you to jail for 10 days. The woman was heartbroken, but even as he was passing sentence, the judge was reaching into his own pocket for the money to pay off the $10 fine. And then he took off his hat, he tossed that $10 bill into it, and then he addressed the crowd. "I am also going to impose a fine of 50 cents on every person here present in this courtroom for living in a town where a person has to steal bread to save her grandchildren from starvation. Please collect the fine, Mr. Bailiff, in this hat, and then pass it across to the defendant." And so the accused went home that day from the courtroom with $47.50, 50 cents of which had been paid by the shamefaced grocery storekeeper who had brought that charge against her. And as she left the courtroom, the gathering of petty criminals and New York policemen gave the judge a standing ovation that day. Just one story, and a happy one at that. And yet, when I was doing the research for this service, again and again, stories of what happened to people for stealing a loaf of bread are painfully there on the internet to be found. I think some of the most moving ones actually came from very early Victorian England, when children were often used to steal bread because they could get past people more quickly. And if they were caught, they were transplanted off to Australia and forever lost to their families. It's a tough world out there, isn't it? Some words to lead us into meditation, written by Jacob Trapp, a reworking of the Lord's Prayer. O thou whose kingdom is within, may all your names be hallowed. May no one of them be turned against the others to divide those who address you. May your presence be made known to us in mercy, beauty, love, and justice. May thy kingdom come to be in the life of all humankind. May it come with peace, with sharing, and in a near time. Give us this day our daily bread, free from all envy and alienation, broken and blessed in the sharing. Keep us from trespass against others and from the feeling that others are trespassing against us. Forgive us more than we have forgiven. And deliver us from being tempted by lesser things, to be heedless of the one great thing, the gift of thyself in us. And as we enter a time of the shared fellowship of stillness and silence together, I invite you to consider the yeast in your own lives, the leaven, that which lifts you, that which lightens your burdens or lifts your spirits. I invite you to consider the yeast in your life. These are just three short readings about bread making. A Zen Buddhist monk writes, "Bread makes itself. By your kindness, with your help, with imagination running through, with dough underhand, you are bread making itself, which is why bread making is so fulfilling and rewarding. A recipe doesn't belong to anyone. Given to me, I give it to you. Only a guide, only a skeletal framework. You must fill in the flesh according to your nature and desire. Your life, your love will bring these words into full creation. This cannot be taught. You already know. So please, cook, love, feel, create."
The first time you make a recipe, it may not measure up to your expectations. Moreover, once you have made a particular loaf successfully, there is no guarantee that it will work automatically thereafter. Many factors determine the quality of a loaf of bread: the weather, the humidity, the temperature, the flour, the yeast, the balance of liquid to dry ingredients, maybe even the temperament or chemistry of the person making it. Therefore, bread making is something of a gamble. But it is interesting to see a loaf come out slightly different each time, although it is basically the same bread. Despite the uncertainty of the results, you can do practically anything with dough if you know what you're doing and get a good loaf. You can throw a recipe together, or you can be meticulous, and chances are both approaches are likely to produce good bread. It is a mysterious business, this making of bread, and once you are hooked by the miracle of yeast, you'll be a bread maker for life.
Since the beginning of time, people who trust one another and care for one another and are deeply connected to one another have shared food as a sign of and a reaffirmation of their relationship. When attention is paid to this sharing, it takes on a ritual character. The nurturing of the body becomes a metaphor of the mutual nourishing of lives. And every time we hold hands and say a blessing before a meal, every time we lift a glass and say fine words to one another, every time we eat in peace and grace together, we have celebrated the covenants that bind us. It's happening. Yeah. It's touched the cling film. It's on its way up. I've been wanting to explore the symbolism of bread for years in a service like this. Years ago now, at college, we had a visitor from a minister who was doing church differently. They'd got the lease of a shop in a rundown part of Liverpool, and on several weekdays, they opened up and they ran bread-making classes. Each person got to make 2 loaves, one to keep for themselves and one to give away. And as they worked together and learnt about bread making and kneaded the bread, they got to talk about their lives, their joys and their struggles, their hopes and their fears. And when the bread had been baked, they would sit together, break bread in company, and have a simple bowl of soup together. And at college that day, instead of this being just another lecture, we sat together round tables and we were given bread dough to knead and shape as we talked to one another. I'd long been aware that bread gets mentioned a lot in the Bible, both in the New Testament and in the Hebrew scriptures. Islam, as the other of the 3 Abrahamic religions, specifically requires its followers to show respect for bread as a basic and essential foodstuff. And in our part of the world, the growing of wheat, just like that, and then making it into bread, well, that's an ancient skill. So no wonder then that it appears in our religious symbolism, just as Hinduism and Buddhism mention rice as the staple foodstuff of their regions. And a bit like the discovery of how to make fire, the discovery that we could use wild yeast, and that's the kind of white film that appears naturally on fruit, that wild yeast could be used to make a bread dough rise. Surely that's got to rank pretty highly in any list of human achievements, along with making fire and making a needle, which is another of my favourites. There are signs of a form of bread making going back as far as 30,000 years ago. But by around 8,000 years ago, there was a shift in the pattern of human settlements from a mainly nomadic lifestyle to a settled farming life. As I've probably told everybody now several times, our monthly Bible group is working its way through the book of Genesis at the moment, and it's not too late to get on board. Next group, not this Monday, but the Monday after. It has been intriguing to realise that nestled there, amongst the dramatic tales and extremely long genealogies, nestled there is the story of a changing lifestyle, of a people claiming a land as their own and settling there and telling stories that prove their right to that land for all time and tough if you still want to be a nomad, because we're settling down now. So, using yeast to bring about a process of fermentation in bread dough makes it more digestible. It's easier for us to digest. It means that our bodies can gain greater nutritional value from the bread. And bread becomes then a staple food. We still sometimes speak, don't we, of somebody being a breadwinner with that implication of providing for others. I don't know if any of you have been to see the exhibition at the British Museum of the destruction of Pompeii and Herculaneum, but one of the many things that touched me in that exhibition was very poignant. A simple loaf of bread that had been carbonised at the time when the eruption hit the town. A loaf of bread complete with the maker's stamp and the marking of the segments that it was going to be broken into. And then a fresco which showed that bread was being given out for free in exchange for votes in Pompeii that year. So many, many references to bread. If we go to the Old Testament, the Hebrew scripture, we get those powerful images of the Hebrew slaves leaving Egypt, not having time to let their bread rise, so having to eat unleavened bread. And that's eaten to this day to commemorate the Passover in Jewish communities. And then moving on to the New Testament, we have all the imagery there of Jesus speaking of himself as the bread of life. But remember also that warning that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. It's been used as a symbol in Christianity, but in various ways. And then the wonderful communal act of breaking bread together that's remembered in that first hymn that we sang today. That bread is a relational thing. It's created to eat in community of others. I wonder how many of you have got stories of bread making from your childhoods or from your adult lives. There are many wonderful folk tales about the making or the giving of bread as well. So it's probably not at all surprising that bread has become a hugely potent symbol for humanity. And it leaves me with that thought of, I wonder what it is that is the yeast, the leaven in your own life. What helps to lift you? I'm going to end with some words by Tess Ward, who's involved with the Celtic Christian community. I wonder if this speaks to you in any way. O bread of life, my staple and my comfort, who meets me in my hunger, give me my daily bread this day, simple and sufficient, fuel for my body and sustenance for my soul. Feed my feet that they may walk down fertile paths this day. Feed my heart that my love may be plentiful for those around me. Feed my work that I may be productive. Feed my words that I may be generous and not mean. Feed my management of time that I may be generative and not pinched. Feed me in my spirit so I may not go hungry, but return again to you each morning with open hand to receive all I need for today, freeing my care for tomorrow. Give us each our daily bread as we set forth this day. Amen. And so may we each receive all that we need this day and in the week ahead. May we be nourished in body, mind, and spirit. And may we do all we can to bring nourishment to others. Be that through a loaf of bread, or a kindly word, or the multitudes of ways that we might feed one another. And may this be so, now and always. Amen. Go well, and blessed be.